Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It was just so amazing to us to be married in our own church, to stay here in the Methodist Church, to have our pastors, our family, our friends around us, and not do it under the radar, but do it in a way to promote change.
Absolutely. I think John said it better earlier when he said, you know, we stayed in this church. We didn't leave it to go where it was easier. We stayed here because we love this church, and I've been here for 20 years, so it's our home, and we just feel very blessed, and we're at the right place at the right time to be able to have this opportunity.
That's John Romana and Jim Wilborn talking about their wedding Saturday at First United Methodist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Since the U.S. Supreme Court made same-sex marriage legal last year, that is the first United Methodist Church to perform a same-sex marriage ceremony. They did so over the weekend. The two ministers who did it expect to be disciplined because the United Methodist Church Book of Order, Book of Discipline, says that shouldn't, it only recognizes one kind of marriage between a man and a woman. We're going to be talking with Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, himself a United Methodist and author of several books on United Methodism. Here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. about that same-sex marriage performed in Charlotte, North Carolina. A little bit later in the program, Dr. Roland Ziegler will join us to talk about Martin Luther's antinomian theses. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon, the 26th of April. After a conversation with Dr. Ziegler, Dr. Gregory Schultz will begin a series with us. We're doing a series on Christianity and logic today, The Three Acts of the Mind. Now, that takes us back to Aristotle, but it's useful for us to begin to understand, in a culture that is being taught not to think, how Christians ought to think. That's part one of our series on Christianity and logic coming up in hour two of Issues Etc. Then, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching us to pray in Luke chapter 11. You can join us over the next 2 hours of the program with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. You can also use our Issues Etc. comment line. Anyone can use it, especially our beloved on-demand listener, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a same-sex wedding performed at a United Methodist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend, Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of the books Taking Back the United Methodist Church and Methodism and Politics in the 20th Century. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Very good to be with you again.
You are a member of the United Methodist Church yourself. What's your reaction to this first same-sex marriage performed there in North Carolina?
Well, obviously saddened and troubled, but it's also a big yawn. We've had these before, and I'm afraid we'll have them again. The retired 82-year-old bishop who co-officiated at the same-sex wedding did the same thing 2 years ago in Birmingham, Alabama, and got a slap on the wrist and offered a sort of a compulsive or a compelled, coerced semi-apology. And here he is doing it again, but obviously it's aimed at the United Methodist General Conference that starts in 2 weeks in Portland, Oregon, where this issue will be, of course, number one among the controversies.
First of all, the immediate context is the official position of the United Methodist Church according to its own order. What is it on marriage?
Marriage is defined as male-female, and Methodist United Methodist clergy are prohibited from celebrating same-sex unions, and United Methodist churches are prohibited from hosting same-sex unions.
The timing, of course, as you just pointed out, is no coincidence. Give us a brief history of the United Methodist Church dealing with this issue over the last 10 years or so.
Well, it dates back more than 10 years. It dates back to 1972. So every 4 years at our governing quadrennial convention, this is the chief controversy. What will the church say about homosexuality? And the church has always reaffirmed the traditional biblical stance. And in recent years, that's only been possible because of the growing representation from the church in Africa. Without them, United Methodism would be where all the other liberal mainline denominations are today on this issue. So the liberals have acknowledged over the last 8 years or so that they cannot win legislatively and democratically on this issue because, of course, they're losing members and the Africans are growing. So they've been conducting acts of defiance and having these occasional same-sex marriages with lots of press and media, hoping to create a sense of chaos in the denomination.
Is there a possibility that when the United Methodist Church meets together, it's going to change its mind at this next assembly?
It's pretty unlikely, assuming all the Africans make their airplane flights and get there safely. We calculate the votes are there to uphold the traditional position, and I think the liberals, by and large, have acknowledged the same thing. And the liberal caucus groups are there, and they're organizing what they call nonviolent acts of disruption.
You mentioned before retired Bishop Melvin Talbert, who co-officiated here, has a track record of this. He has said, in kind of a way, in words to his congregation on Sunday, or the congregation where he was preaching, invited discipline, says it could very well be disciplined, both he and the other minister who performed the wedding with him. What kind of discipline did he get before you called it a slap on the wrist?
Well, he did a same-sex ceremony in Birmingham in 2013, and the whole Council of Bishops of the United Methodist Church filed a complaint against him that was obviously controversial, and there was dissent within the council, but they did that. But it did not go to a church trial. Essentially, it was negotiated so that Bishop Talbert expressed publicly a sense of regret over any harm to anyone else's ministry that he may have inflicted by defying church law.
What could happen this time? Anything?
With him, almost certainly very little to nothing. He's 82 years old, obviously long since retired. No one's going to take his pension away from him at this point. In terms of the clergywoman who is the pastor of that church, potentially more could happen to her. By and large, most of these situations over the last couple of years, bishops have tried to negotiate a quiet settlement where the officiating clergy will, in theory, claim not to conduct another same-sex union, and then the complaint is dropped.
What's the position of the bishop who presides over the area of North Carolina on this issue? Sometimes the bishops tend to trend far more liberal than the parish pastors or the people who sit in the pews. Do you know of anything about that, Mark?
Almost invariably, the bishops are more liberal than most of the lay people. The bishop in Western North Carolina has been considered in the past semi-orthodox or evangelical leaning. He did study for a time at the Evangelical Asbury Seminary, but I would say by and large he's been squishy and has tried to avoid controversy and has lain low, has not been publicly extolling the church's teaching on marriage. In fact, almost no bishops have been. They just fall back on, I will enforce the church law. And in fact, he joined with other North Carolina Methodist bishops, active and retired, just this week in a declaration criticizing the new controversial North Carolina law regarding transgenders and bathrooms.
I'd like your reaction to a couple of things that were recorded in the Charlotte Observer. The first one from Pastor Val Rosenquist, senior pastor of First United Methodist there in North Carolina, said that the book of discipline in the United Methodist Church has, quote, institutionalized oppression and discrimination. What's your response, Mark?
Well, this is the theme of the liberal caucus groups, and obviously they're using Bishop Talbert for this purpose because he was in jail for one night with Martin Luther King 55 years ago. So obviously their major theme is that LGBTQ is just like the civil rights movement for black people half a century ago, and the process of liberation continues. I would respond that the civil rights movement was relying on a consistent Christian ethic, whereas LGBTQ, of course, has the purpose of overturning and negating that consistent Christian ethic.
Also, this from Bishop Talbert, who also participated in the same-sex marriage ceremony. He called his disobedience to the Methodist rules against same-sex marriage what he called an act of biblical obedience. Maybe disobeying the Methodist rules, but he's obeying the Bible. Your response?
Again, this has been a years-long theme of the liberal caucus groups that they're disobedient of the Church, United Methodist Church law, but obedient to the biblical law, which obviously is absurd. And essentially, they're saying universal Christianity for 2,000 years has misinterpreted what the Bible really says about homosexuality, and only they have this unique, truthful understanding of what God's authentic message is about sexuality.
How do the African bishops and clergymen that you mentioned before, how do they view this, especially going into the assembly?
They are entirely orthodox on this issue, and the African bishops last fall put out their own statement, which is unprecedented, reaffirming the church's teachings on marriage, just to illustrate how important it is to them.
And how do they look at these kind of, I'll just call it for the lack of a better word, these stunts that are often pulled in protest?
Well, they have so little exposure to them, but when their delegates come to our convention every 4 years, most of them are very new to this process, and they're always, of course, stunned and don't know how to react, and some of them are a little bit intimidated, but by and large, they're very tough people, and generally, they're quiet, but when it comes to this issue, they're always there are always some very forceful, outspoken African voices.
Mark, you know the track record here of the other of the seven sisters of the mainline Protestant denominations here. Most of them, not all of them, most of them have gone through a similar kind of process of protest, of a kind of a constant decades-long distraction on the issue over human sexuality, only in the end to give in. I'm not asking you to be a prophet, but maybe a pessimist. Do you think that the United Methodist Church can buck that trend of the other mainline Protestant denominations?
Well, the seven mainline denominations, only the United Methodists and the American Baptists have not formally surrendered on sexuality. The United Methodists are distinct among the mainline and virtually all American denominations because it is a global denomination, and over 40% of the denomination is outside the U.S., almost entirely in Africa, but some in Europe and also the Philippines and Southeast Asia. And the African church gains a quarter million members every year, while the U.S. church loses almost 100,000 every year. So with that demographic trend, the church should continue to reaffirm the traditional church teaching. The challenge is the frustrated liberal parts of the U.S. church are going to continue to defy church law. So the question is, does the denomination have the will to uphold its own teachings?
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of the books Taking Back the United Methodist Church and Methodism and Politics in the 20th Century. You can read a recent IRD post titled About That Charlotte Methodist Gay Wedding Church at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, thank you for your time.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Roland Ziegler. We're going to talk about Martin Luther's antinomian theses. He spent, well, let's just call it maybe three rounds with one of his former students, one of his former devotees, Johannes Agricola, over the issue of the law and its place in the life of the Christian. Dr. Roland Ziegler will join us to talk about Martin Luther's antinomian theses right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.